9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.
Well, that was Monday Night Raw. I didn't do a watch along with you guys. As you know, if you hear my voice, it is the mayor. It's a Monday. That means we got to discuss Monday Night Raw post-show fashion. And that was a very eventful Monday Night Raw post-Money in the Bank. And I'm going to let y'all fill in the chats because I know I've been gone for a couple of weeks and want to make sure everybody's here so we can get this cracking. And man, before I go any further.
Gunter, the ring general, Gunter.
That's how we close the show. And I'm still in a little bit of disbelief. Monday Night Raw held from Phoenix, Arizona tonight. As you know, Money in the Bank was here in the Los Angeles area. A lot of us here at WWT were doing all the things. Money in the Bank weekend, I got to visit. I got to see Lola Vice in a meet and greet. I got to do AAA Worlds Collide, amazing show from start to finish. And Money in the Bank was a good show outside of the men's Money in the Bank, which I'm pretty sure they talked about that on live earlier today. But we open the show with the greatest of all time, John Cena. And if I can be frank, man, I thought we were going to get a very basic, plain John Cena run. And I know the entrance is dumbed down, but John Cena's giving us an all-timer when it comes to his merchandise. This merchandise shit is elite. Like, going from every tour date show, giving them a specialized colorway. It's nice. Like, the Phoenix shirt is dope. The LA Rams shirt they had out here was dope. The Lakers shirt is really fire. I'm kind of mad that the Superstore didn't have it. But John Cena doing a lot more promo-wise, holding up this farewell tour like he has been, really to elevate the man who just came back to the company too with some of what he's saying. And the things he said about R-Truth is, whoo, the fact that it's a sideshow gimmick and that you'll forget about it a year from now, like, that's John B. talking, man. John B. talking. And now he's opposed, and we're finally getting what we thought we would get on this farewell tour, and that's the CM Punk matchup. Now, Punk is going to give us something that I thought we would never see, and that's him in this WWE run appearing in Saudi Arabia. So John and Punk are going to meet at Night of Champions on June 28th. You heard that right. John said, if you want a title shot, you got to follow me to Saudi Arabia. And we know how vocal Punk has been about not performing over there. So I just know they blank check. Turkish Ali, whatever his name is, be doing the boxing, blank check. Bring your ass. So Punk being the voice of the voiceless, being the people's champ, if you would, at this time. He had some very interesting things. Punk's probably the best promo in this company right now, despite John being on the heater. The whole bar about him being comfortable because he has a lot of things to say. He's prepared to throw hands, but one way or another, I'm going to get this off my chest. And then saying, I'm not here to kiss my final boss's ass like you. Like, we're going to get a nice war of words for the next couple of weeks until we get the Night of Champions. I don't expect anything to change with John Cena's title reign, but I like that we're here in the part of the journey just halfway through. We got the Orton, we're getting the Punk, so we're getting nostalgia out the way, and then maybe some younger stars can get right as well. We open the show with AJ Styles versus Chad Gable. Of course, AJ Styles lost to Big Grande last week in the triple threat that sent Big Grande to Money in the Bank. We're kind of an interesting spot for where AJ Styles is. I know there's some talks about his contract situation, how much he has left, but he picked up a win over Chad Gable tonight, much needed win. And then he seemed later on to take kind of a position against the new alliance we're talking about, just because Paul Heyman pressed him last week. So I'm pretty sure we'll get some AJ Styles versus Seth Rollins in the near future while we push that Money in the Bank cash in attempts and all that type of stuff further and further down the road. But quick appreciation for Chad Gable. Whatever you think about the character with Big Grande and all that, I know we make a lot of jokes, but the man was putting in work. man was putting in a whole lot of damn work. And he's honestly, if you're just looking for pure wrestling, he's one of the best hands in the entire company. As far as just pure wrestling, telling a story in the ring, giving you true mat technician work. Like, on my high list of things that I want to wish for, I want to see Chad Gable wrestle Zack Sabre Jr. I don't care when, if it can happen this year. However we got to get there with like a Forbidden Door, whatever, we got to make Chad Gable, Zack Sabre Jr. happen within the next couple of years. Because that will be fucking beautiful if we get there. And please, can we do something to get the Creed brothers like some type of championship run? I know that American Made's not a babyface group and they're kind of taking their lumps as far as developing their characters, but they were a very fun act in NXT. And it just sucks to see what they've become, especially if, as well as the New Day are doing with this heel gimmick, I think the Creed brothers can probably do well just being another hand on SmackDown, going against the Motor City Machine Guns and Fraxium if we're not going to do anything with them on Raw. I don't know what type of trade we got to make, but let's go ahead and make that happen if we can. Next up, we have our King and Queen of the Ring qualifiers. First up, we had the Queen of the Ring qualifier between Rhea Ripley, Kairi Sane, Roxanne Perez, Liv Morgan. My highlights of this match, really Kairi Sane. I think Kairi Sane is doing a good job of reminding us the performer she is. We got to remember the Mae Young Classics. We got to remember all the NXT takeovers where Kairi Sane was a beast. On top of like her run in New Japan when she originally left the company, she's reminding fans what she can do in the ring. And I'm just happy she's getting the chance to showcase that. I know her counterpart is going to be back soon in the Queen of the Ring tournament. I wish they would have kept it a surprise. But I like that Kairi is getting a chance to shine. And she was in those last moments of the match, even hitting Rhea and Raquel with the insane elbow to the outside. I think the right winner happened, and that's Roxanne Perez. There's a lot of reasons why Roxanne Perez probably could have made a case for holding the briefcase, especially with the Judgment Day storyline. To me, this is the next best thing. And we didn't wait like a whole month storylines down the road to get there. We're talking about Roxanne Perez's journey to becoming Queen of the Ring, and we got Liv Morgan out of there just by being in the same match. So you're furthering that division. Roxanne's a new hot toy in the Judgment Day. And if she makes it to the finals, it can be very valuable. Or if she wins all the way, I know they get a title match that can further the division in the Judgment Day and possibly bring a whole split. What's up, Amanadu? How you doing? But I think that was a good move to get Roxanne the win. I'm happy to see the trajectory there, and shout out to the councilman who got to meet his client, Miss Perez, yesterday. But they got backstage. Liv Morgan doesn't like the celebration for Roxanne Perez, so we're further blurring the lines there. Where I don't know if Finn Balor's a mastermind behind everything, and Dom's really out of the loop, or if it's Raquel that should get some smoke from Liv, because I still can't forget what happened a couple of weeks ago where Roxanne alluded that Raquel was the one who told her to come out there. So we'll see. Very good that Rhea Ripley did not win that match, because Rhea Ripley did not need to win that match. If you guys hear any of the crowd every week, that's not pumped in sound, pumped in audio. People really pop for Rhea. Rhea doesn't need Queen of the Ring. Liv Morgan, frankly, doesn't need Queen of the Ring to elevate themselves. Perfect move for Roxanne to move on in the tournament. And I hope the rest of the tournament bracket kind of gives somebody else a chance. I think in the next bracket, I think I saw Jade, Nia Jax, Piper Niven, as well as Mia Yim. Honestly, I would like to see Mia Yim win that. I would like to see just new faces that absolutely need it going further on into the tournament. Next, we have Becky Lynch cutting a promo. Becky Lynch is doing amazing heel work as well. I like the added addition saying loving daughter, hot husband, throwing that in people's faces, alluding to the fact that she almost tore her rotator cuff and shoulder when Lyra lifted up her hand at the end of the match, per the agreement, Lyra Valkyria was supposed to raise Becky Lynch's hand once Becky Lynch won the Intercontinental title. But a couple of things before we get to Lyra. Because what Becky was saying is absolutely true. And just by Becky being in this division, she is going to elevate the title to higher heights. She wasn't the inaugural champion, but she's the second. And she's done more for Lyra than Lyra has for herself since being on the main roster. Now Lyra feels like a viable threat. She feels like a great promo. There's all these great things. And with Becky, now her star power just being a workhorse champion. Like if she's still a workhorse champion and Becky defends this title on Monday Night Raw, on the next Saturday night main event, things like that, the title is going to get more prestige, especially for the woman who eventually takes it off of her. And we might know who that woman is because Lyra came down, but Bayley returned. And Bayley gunned straight for Becky Lynch because if you remember, Bayley was taken out for the tag team match at WrestleMania by Becky Lynch's own omission. So now we're going to get your, I don't want to say prototypical, but we're going to get a throwback rivalry with two of the four horsewomen. That should be a banger. And honestly, it's probably going to culminate not at Night of Champions. I think it'll culminate at Evolution, where you'll see Becky Lynch versus Bayley, maybe a triple threat with Lyra, because that'd be a good swing to get her the title back if they want to go that route. But at Evolution 2, and I think that'd be a great match. Good way to bring Bayley back. No talking, just smoke. And I think Bayley versus Becky can do a lot good programming. We also got another return, which was interesting in itself in the immediate aftermath. And that was, I don't even want to call him R-Truth anymore. I want to call him Ron Killings now, because that's the name that he wanted to go by. The name he wanted to go by is his own personal name. If you guys read the internet, know why. And honestly, fans really showed up for Truth. And I think that's beautiful that we have him back. And now we're going to get a more serious final run, alluding to what he did in his TNA days. Some of what we saw in the earlier years of his WWE career. But I like that he has the audience in the palm of his hands. More than his heel work, the fans started doing the what chants. And Truth said, "I wish you would." And everybody stopped. Everybody stopped. This is what R-Truth deserves, being, what, 53, 54, giving your life to the career of wrestling. I mean, the man has been in music, in the hip-hop space for years, and now it feels like he's going to get his flowers on his final run the same way we're giving John Cena his victory lap. And I think what's telling is nobody can predict what's going to happen. I was very shocked that he cut the hair. I feel like we could have got there without him cutting the hair. I don't need that. But I mean, if it was going and it's time to come home, I get it. Cut it off. We've all been there. We all going to get there. But that just showed that, hey, this is a serious side of him that he's going to portray. And then he said, he pretty much confirmed that the fans were the reason that he's back, pretty much thanking the fans on camera and on television, saying that don't let nobody tell you that your voice doesn't matter. But he also mentioned that R-Truth can be too nice, too funny, too forgiving, and that he feels different and that he likes the way he feels. And throwback to his old music, his old catchphrase, the truth has set him free. So we're going to see a very serious R-Truth who kind of has some response to what John Cena said earlier about a sideshow gimmick and all these things. So I think if anything, if the end game can be John Cena losing that title to Ron Killings, what a storybook chapter on two legendary careers if you can do that. I don't know how we get there, but I'm excited to just be surprised and see how we get there, because while Ron has been keeping John Cena's legacy alive while he's off doing movies, doing the part-time thing, now it seems like John is back to also kind of pay homage to Truth's legacy as well, just by the promos and even on SmackDown last week, the saying that you can't handle the truth and things like that. That all this inner workings that I'm reading between the lines behind the scenes, man, it's just beautiful stuff being done all around. And whatever dates we have left for Ron, whatever dates we have left for John, I just hope and pray that everybody just appreciates it, because for years from now, we're going to look at it and remember that we were watching magic. We did see some, I want to say we did see some backstage stuff with A-Town Down Under. And I think now that we've seen like other splits, breakups, whatever you want to call them, I think now they're finally going to pull the trigger on A-Town Down Under. We saw them arguing backstage, I believe, while Nikki was walking to the ring. And Waller was even talking and getting advice from the New Day and saying, finally, some good vets around the building. So maybe it's finally time for the Austin Theory face turn. I think Waller can do amazing things by himself. I don't think he needs to be a tag team. And I think Austin Theory was just waiting for the fans to believe in him as a personality more than anything than being forced in our throats. So whenever that happens, and let's say it happens in one of these qualifiers, I haven't seen the full bracket yet, but I'm guessing one of these men, if not both, will be in the brackets. It's time to pull the trigger, and it's time to see if Austin Theory can really swim. We also had Nikki Bella come to the ring. Nikki Bella pretty much giving us the word about Evolution 2 and how we're gearing up for that event, talking about how she main evented the first one and that it's exciting time for it to come back, which I was wondering who was going to come out and steal her shine, and it was Liv Morgan. And for now, Liv Morgan got the upper hand, hitting her with Oblivion to end that segment. So maybe we're leading towards a Liv Morgan versus Nikki Bella match, but I tend to lead more to the Bella twins taking on Raquel and Liv at Evolution 2. Because one thing Liv kept pointing out is that one thing you're not is I'm a champion. And Liv is a record-breaking tag team champion. That's true. She's world champion all last year. She's a star. She has more crossover appeal than most of the division right now. And she built and earned that all on her own through her hard work. So Liv saying, like, I'm this era and you're just a Divas era, and the Divas era is frowned upon, whatever you think about it. We might get that crossover between those tag teams for the tag belts. And I thought it would be the Iconics, but the Iconics just came back to TNA last week. But this would be money if they do that. I don't think the Bella Twins have ever been the women's tag team champions. So what better way for them to get like one nice final run than to become the tag team champions and help elevate that division the way we know it can be elevated. We had another qualifier match with the men for the King of the Ring. And that featured Bron Breakker, Sami Zayn, Dominic Mysterio, and Penta. Kudos to the guys who are actually performing, like, after being in Money in the Bank, namely Penta. But Sami Zayn won this match. Sami Zayn had some moments with Karrion Kross backstage saying, I know I can become a champion. I know I'm good enough to become a champion. Dominic did not go console Liv after her loss. He ran to his match, so further teasing the dissent between Liv and Dom because he's getting the gaga eyes for Roxanne or whatever. Great showing by all men. Bron Breakker got eliminated early, then came back and pretty much took Penta out of the match for Zayn to pick up the win over Dominic. I think here's the thing I don't like about the whole Seth Rollins stuff. I don't know where this is positioning Bron Breakker, but golly, man, the presentation of Bron Breakker with Paul Heyman walking behind him is so powerful. Him being in the blacked out background with the smoke machine, with Paul Heyman just emerging from the darkness, that they got to run with that. Like, at some point, like, Seth has to gift the briefcase to Bron or something just to do that, more of that. But we know Sami Zayn is moving on. Sami Zayn is probably going to end up maybe getting into the finals. I know I saw Carmelo Hayes tweet out their match last year, I believe, in the King of the Ring tournament. This could be a nice character arc for Sami to get another title match or world title match, that is, that way. And maybe he gets it against John Cena. Again, element of surprise here. I think it could be a powerful thing if Sami does kind of run the gauntlet and make it there that way. Then our main event, which I'm still recovering from. I'm still a little shocked over. Gunther and Jey Uso. And they actually let these two men cook for a while, if I'm being honest. It was a very strong match. I did not expect that ending. I don't know what I went in expecting with Phoenix Knight, but I know they had Jey teasing his injury a little bit from the tag match over the weekend. But I don't think I expected a clean finish. And I don't know why I built in my head that somebody was going to show up and cost Gunther like Goldberg or something. But I didn't expect that, man. And with Jey, you having his entrance to, or sorry, having his son to do his entrance with him, and then even his son consoling him after the match, I don't know what direction we go from here, because Jey is probably, outside of John right now with the merchandise, the biggest merchandise seller in the company, with the crossover commercial appeal and everything like that. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't expect a – he didn't tap. Gunther tapped. Jey just passed out. He didn't give up. That's the only drawback I can take from this, is that Jey was a fighting champion that did not give up to the very end. That's the only thing I can take from that. But the fact that he became champion at there, thank you, Boza, 6 weeks and two title defenses. So month and a half of a title run for like that huge moment to take it off of Gunther at Mania, just to go back to Gunther, and which I don't really think Gunther has done anything meaningful in that stretch. Like the Pat McAfee match was so beneath him. It didn't make him look more like a monster. Especially when Pat shows up after the match on commentary doing his job. Like it. So I don't know. And now, if you heard Michael Cole before the match, that was the fifth time these two men have met. Gunther is now 4-1 against Jey Uso. So I don't know where we go from here. I will say that to me, Jey does feel more like a champion today than he did in the buildup. Feels more like a champion. Like, I believe it. It's not just the entrance. It's not just the song and the flashy gear. He feels like a real deal champion. And I know the councilman always says, you got to make that title make the champion sometimes. I feel like he's a made man in those 6 weeks. So I don't know if Jey runs it back against him to get the title back. I don't know if he's going to stay in this atmosphere of the title picture or come right back to it, because, I mean, the money in the bank is there and all that, but that's on Seth. So it's just a weird. Yeah. I left Monday Night Raw feeling really weird tonight, especially without there being a draft that we know is going to happen or any trades to different rosters and things like that. So I won't say I feel bad for Jey. I'll say I feel confused about the decision, because I have no idea what the direction is for Gunther after succumbing him to a Pat McAfee match and no other rivals outside of Jey that they've built up this whole time. Like, I don't think you're going to tell me like Seth Rollins is going to be the next like legit challenger for Jey. He's just carrying around Money in the Bank, and he might want to cash in on another brand. I really don't know, man. I really don't know. That was probably one of the most, I don't want to say flat. It wasn't a flat Monday Night Raw. I just left it, like, you can tell the air was sucked out of that arena in Phoenix. And it's like very confusing the direction we go from here. But I do think Jey is a made man as champion, and that main event Jey Uso has a lot more staying power than it did earlier this year. So hopefully he gets back on the horse and gets back in the title contention. But like when we pop up for Monday Night Raw next week, I don't know what that's going to look like without Jey coming down, doing the thing with the title, and then Gunther appearing as champion and going back to that promo window we had with him as champion. Also, didn't mention this, but Seth Rollins and crew are probably going to take aim at Gunther. Sorry, not Gunther, at LA Knight, because LA Knight took out Bron Breakker in the qualifier match. And my God, I'm running it back right now. These qualifier matches for the women. I think I just saw a bracket that had Asuka and Stephanie Vaquer in it. And Sheamus, Rusev, and Bronson Reed, and a mystery man returning. That's going to be an interesting one. Cody Rhodes is in the tournament. Interesting. Yeah, man. It's going to be a fun few weeks as we make our way towards Night of Champions, where we get the King of the Ring finals. We'll have more qualifying matches this Friday, next Monday, until June 28th. We have Night of Champions, which I'm sure we'll have a watch along. But that's been the Monday Night Raw post show, guys. I got to get to some other endeavors in these streets, as you guys know. Very interesting way to end, and I'll make sure I'm back with you guys next week, at least for a watch along or a post show to keep you guys in the loop. And I'll try to be on live this week as well. Make sure you hit me on the socials, Said is the Answer on the gram, on TikTok as well. I'm posting all my content from the interviews there and on Said Says on Twitter. But until next time, y'all, this is Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the problem, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet. And I'm your mayor. Good night for now. Happy Monday, y'all.
Thanks for joining WWT. Don't forget to like us on all social media platforms at WW Talk Pod. Like and subscribe on all video and audio platforms, like yesterday, my G. And check out our website at www.talkpod.com. Thanks for watching Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.